97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The Mark Cox Morning Show is brought to you by Thomas Helbig and Bob Kershaw with the Retirement Advisory Group, retirementkey.com.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
You know, it's Thursday morning. We're happy you're with us here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Still so much to get to. We're going to go to the White House salon in a few minutes because we're kind of a big deal here because we get Griff Jenkins exclusively every Thursday, and he happens to be reporting from the White House this morning on, among other things, the lack of communication and press availability with Kamala Harris since she's been announced the nominee of the party.
And Joe Biden. He's done like one interview, maybe.
I know. They're hiding him, and they're hiding her from anybody that might ask them a difficult question. They're so trying to control the messaging right now to the White House. And now this stolen valor issue has popped up regarding Tim Walz, the governor of the state of Minnesota, who's been accused of, and even CNN admits, lied about his record. So that is an interesting story that's coming out on that, and we're going to get the latest on that for you coming up here from Griff at around 8:35 or so. Also, the question of the evangelical vote, how important is that going to be this year? Will they turn out? Trump's taking some heat for telling Christians, specifically churchgoers, to get out and vote, and then they won't have to worry about it anymore. And then everybody thought he's going to end democracy because he said that, which is really dumb.
But not even just getting out there to vote, because obviously that's the most important step. But also, I think it's important to think biblically. And I think that's what I'm looking forward to talking to Lauren about, because how often do we see someone say they're a Christian and then they go and they vote for everything that it's polar opposite that, you know?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
I would completely agree with that for sure. All right, we're going to get to all that for you coming up here in just a couple minutes. Here are our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I think we need to push back on this. There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation or hate speech, and especially around our democracy.
Wow, how about that? Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota, saying that you don't have a right to free speech if I don't agree with you. That's frightening right there.
Are you confident that there will be a peaceful transfer of power in January 2025?
If Trump wins, no, I'm not confident at all. I mean, if Trump loses, I'm not confident at all.
Yeah, that's a preview of the mixed up interview Joe Biden gave with CBS. I guess it airs in its entirety on Sunday morning.
Because that would be another horrific policy by the Democrats in their zeal to try to kill young babies.
Yeah, how about that? Talking about, that's Governor Greg Abbott of Texas, talking about these policies by Tim Walz to allow abortion up until birth. And, you know, Jake Tapper can't believe you would even suggest something like that. And yet that's still the policy of many states, including Minnesota.
Cori Bush is a member of the so-called squad in Congress, but it was one big money group in particular that set their sights on getting her kicked out of Congress.
Oh, yeah. Channel 4 is reporting on this because, of course, Cori did a little drop and flop on it in her concession speech on Tuesday night after learning that she had lost to Wesley Bell. Boo, was she hot, as my friend Doug Vaughn used to say on Channel 4 all the time. She was hot. And she got up and she ranted and she raved and cover your ears. This is also what she said.
All they did was radicalize me. And so now they need to be afraid.
I, I'm trying to look at this with some objectivity. I don't know how you look at what she said about AIPAC. I'm coming after you. I'm going to burn your kingdom down, and you've radicalized me, and you should be afraid, other than to perceive it as a threat. And in the national media today, that's exactly how it's being portrayed.
Yeah, I would take that as a threat. I think it's interesting that she and Jamal Bowman, another member, of course, of the squad, both, you know, lost in their primaries. But you have AOC, who overwhelmingly won. And then you had Rashida Tlaib in Michigan, who was uncontested. So this isn't the end of the squad. There's fewer members now. But then I think you brought up an interesting point, and that would be, let's just theoretically say that Kamala Harris somehow wins this election. Could Cori Bush be appointed to a cabinet position?
I don't know.
Would she somehow be in her administration? Right.
To the Middle East? I mean, could you imagine?
Border czar?
What a disaster it would be. Our foreign policy would be with Kamala Harris in charge of it. Just based on how she mishandled the border. Back to this issue for a minute. Mayor Tishara Jones was in the audience during the rant by Cori Bush. There was lots of applause. One has to assume if she was there as a supporter, she supports her other radical progressive ideas. Why isn't somebody at City Hall? I would hope that all the investigative reporters so worried about AIPAC giving money to Wesley Bell are knocking on Tishara's door this morning demanding to know, do you support her anti-Semitic policies? There are probably a lot of Jewish folks who live in the city of St. Louis who would love to know the answer to that. Why was she there? Listen to part of this report. So Corey's mad because a political action committee spent money to defeat her. Well, guess what, Corey? That happened to everybody who was on the ballot Tuesday. You're not unique, despite the fact that you want to think you're something special. You're nothing special. The ads that were run against a lot of these politicians, Adam Schnelting, Bob Onder, a lot of them were horrible. But you didn't hear them coming out afterwards saying that they were going to go attack that pack or burn it down. Listen to part of the story from Channel 4. Cut 16, Carl.
Cori Bush is a member of the so-called squad in Congress, but it was one big money group in particular that set their sights on getting her kicked out of Congress.
This was the second most expensive congressional race in our nation's history. $19 million and counting.
That, to me, speaks to the corrupting role of our current campaign finance system and the fact that it is very hard to be a working class American that gets elected to office and stay in office.
But Rogers says with the Supreme Court that's opened the door for outside dark money, big spending in elections is likely here to stay.
In terms of whether or not we're going to see reform in the next 10 years, I would actually say it's pretty doubtful.
AIPAC invested even more money to defeat a congressman in New York earlier this year. By the way, experts say an incumbent losing a primary is very rare, only happens about 6% of the time. It's part of the reason this story has gone all around the globe.
Hey, Lauren, here'd be my question for you. How much money does Planned Parenthood spend in election cycles to defeat candidates they disagree with on the issue of abortion?
Yeah, to get the amendment on November's the election here, the ballot.
That's not just
in Missouri.
Dark money, that's blood money that's being spent to legalize the killing of babies.
Mm-hmm.
So the story was done because Cori Bush demanded it be done, basically. I'm not saying she called Channel 4 and said, do this. But when she complained, oh, these evil AIPAC people are targeting me, it's a political action committee.
I think
those are legal.
I think they did it because they know this is one of the most talked about stories. So if you put anything on a website that relates to Cori Bush, that's new content, they're likely going to get clicks on it.
Right.
And that's really what it's all about. Just getting driving people to the website.
I have no problem complaining about content of those ads because a lot of them are deceptive in many cases. If you want to challenge one of those in court, that's one thing. Threatening to kill the people associated with it is something else. And there's no way to listen to her words without perceiving it as a threat. I've listened to it three or four times now, and there's just no other way to listen to it. Listen.
There is nothing that happens in my life that happens in vain. So this happened, it's because it was meant to happen. And let me say, it's because of the work that I need to do. And let me say this.
Okay, so she didn't say burn it down. She said tear it down. But there it is. You take it for what it's worth. That is that's what Cori Bush is making headlines for this morning. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Lauren Green. She is the education. She's the religion reporter for Fox News, and she is covering this story on evangelical Christians and whether or not they are going to turn out to vote this fall. And if not, why not? We'll get to her next.
Responded. I said, Christians, I started off by saying, just so you understand, you never vote. Christians do not vote well. They vote in very small percentages. Why? I don't know. Maybe they're disappointed in things that are happening. But for a long time, I say, you don't vote. I'm saying, go out. You must vote. November 5th is going to be the most important election in the history of our country.
Yeah, President Trump responding, you know, after the media went wild when he said something about, if you just go vote this time and you won't have to worry about it. And of course, the talking heads misinterpreted that to say he was going to end democracy or something. It was really ridiculous. But it does beg the question, will Christians, evangelicals specifically, turn out to vote in this election cycle? And we've got Lauren Green, who's a reporter with Fox News and covers religion issues all the time. Lauren, welcome in.
Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, great to be here.
So good to get you on. We appreciate your time this morning. There's a new group, right? I don't know how new the group is, but it's a nonpartisan ministry that's trying to get evangelicals involved, right?
Well, that's the thing. You know, actually, My Faith Votes has been around for quite a while. Jason Yates is the founder president, and he has a passion for helping Christians understand how to get involved in politics in a way that's consistent with their biblical views.
Yeah, and what Trump, to President Trump's point there, statistically, historically, the percentage of people who I guess identify as Christian or specifically evangelicals, it's been an important voting bloc, but not necessarily always as large as people might expect, right?
Well, some of the numbers are pretty scary. If you're a Christian and you believe that the Bible is God's word, a lot of the numbers suggest that millions and millions and millions, if not like upwards of, you know, 20, 25 million evangelical Christians stayed out of the last election. And that's a huge number, and it's a huge voting bloc, but they have huge power. So My Faith Votes is really trying to get people to say, okay, here's how you think biblically. They've got like six modules on their website, their tutorials that let you go through the issues like gender and politics and justice and the sanctity of life and say, what does the Bible actually say about these issues? So you're voting with information. And one of the things, and I was listening to your Trump was saying, you know, before he came to me about how, you know, a lot of Christians will stay out, not understanding that, you know, they need to get involved in politics. And one of the things they said in this module about politics, it's about making righteous and just decisions and promoting the common good that increase human flourishing. You know, we are to be good stewards of this earth that God has given us. You know, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's. And everything in it. So it's our job to govern and steward over it. So if Christians don't get involved in politics, decisions will be made to avoid God's truth, in a sense. That's
what you said. I could not agree more. We're called to be the salt and the light, and that includes in the civic arena. I'm so proud my church is civically engaged and encourages everyone to do so. And I don't know why it is. Are they worried about being called a bigot? Because if you speak out, you will be called a bigot at some point, and you have to just know that that's going to happen and, frankly, just get over it.
Well, one of the things that's happened, too, is that when a lot of churches are afraid of the accusations of separation of church and state, and they've been threatened with losing their
501c3, right?
Their charity status if they actually preach politics in the pulpit. But the thing about it is that the country has gone so morally in opposite directions, and so many of those decisions are things that affect and directly affect the Bible and how we view it. I mean, if you believe the Bible is God's word, then you've got to speak about issues concerning, you know, gender and marriage and sexuality and all of those things, and abortion.
Yes.
And so one of the things, I mean, a lot of people will say, you know, they sort of, you know, hold their noses and vote certain ways because, well, you know, I think they're good on this, but not so good on this. But it's hard to kind of vote in a certain way when you hear what God has to say about the sanctity of life. You know, in Psalms saying, "I knitted you together in your mother's womb. You're fearfully and wonderfully made." How is that consistent with saying that abortion is healthcare?
Yeah, I hope that they're successful in this outreach and they're getting people's attention. Lauren Green, a pleasure to have you on today. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
You bet. Absolutely. And she's great. She wrote a book too back in 2017 called The Lighthouse Faith: God is a Living Reality in a World Immersed in a Fog. Hmm. So she's deeply involved in her religion.
I know a Christian who is supporting Cori Bush. I do not understand that.
Yeah, that will continue to be a mystery. Hey, coming up, J.D. Vance called out the Democrats yesterday. He chased them down on a tarmac, and now there's this whole issue of stolen valor. We're going to touch on all of it with Griff Jenkins.
The claim about being in actual combat, that's different. Waltz did make a comment speaking to a group. He's done it a couple of times where he has used language that has suggested that he carried weapons in a fighting situation. As you know, with your contact with the military, I know from coming from a military family, there is a difference between being in a combat area, being involved at a time of war, and actually being in a position where people are shooting at you. There is no evidence that at any time Governor Waltz was in a position of being shot at, and some of his language could easily be seen to suggest that he was. So that is absolutely false when he said that about gun rights out there.
Yeah, that's CNN. That's CNN reporting on this valor issue and whether stolen valor is a thing for the governor of Minnesota. Let's get to Griff.
We're trying to get Griff.
Oh, we don't have Griff?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We're trying to get him.
Theme right away.
We're trying to get him on the phone. That's very unusual for Carl not to have already hit the Griff theme there. I apologize. I was focused on what I was talking about. So anyway, this Swift Boat thing. Remember the Swift Boat veterans that got together and fought back against John Kerry? I mean, that was a big deal back then. They were running ads all over the place. Listen.
If you had any question about what John Kerry's made up.
Why do so many of us have serious questions?
How did you get your Purple Heart when your commanding officer didn't approve it?
Yeah, that was the Swift Boat veterans against Kerry who ran ads during, because they were so offended by his lies about his duty in Vietnam. Many of them were offended that he came back from Vietnam and told horrible stories about his fellow comrades that he served with, his fellow veterans, and lied about what he specifically did when he was there.
I find it odd that Walls came out in Philadelphia the other day when Kamala first introduced them as the ticket, and he really put an emphasis on his military experience. So to me, I'm thinking, if you know that this could come out, why put such an emphasis on it?
I don't know. I don't know why you'd have the arrogance to think that you'd never be called out on it. But he was. Here's a clip of Walls from CNN. I'm sorry, C-SPAN. Back in the day, he was in Congress already. He had just run for Congress, and C-SPAN invited him on to learn more about him.
And your military background?
I spent 24 years in the National Guard, some of that full time. I was an artilleryman. I deployed in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. My battalion provided base security throughout the European theater from Turkey to England in the early stages of the war in Afghanistan. And that same battalion is now in Iraq at this time.
Next.
Yeah. So there he made reference to the fact. Now, the actual allegation is coming from a guy named Tom Behrens. He was a retired command sergeant major. Command sergeant major is the title that Walls has used in his literature claiming he was in the National Guard. The National Guard says he never earned that title. He had a lesser title of like Master Sergeant, which is nothing to laugh at. But here's Barron's talking about him misstating his rank. Go to cut 10, Carl, please.
It kind of just sat there. You know, when he was a congressman, he bragged that he was a command sergeant, retired command sergeant major. I'm the highest ranking person ever in the House, and you know, all this lie that he was telling. The state of Minnesota came out after 2018, after this was exposed, and they said, well, he can say that he served as a command sergeant major, but he can't say he's a retired one because he's not.
And that's what he was saying.
And he was saying that, and there was lots of public, you know, lots of cards coming in the mail, you know, for him to be elected. They said right on there, he's a retired command sergeant major.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
Hey, Griff, how are you, my friend?
I am good. I am in the basement of the White House where our press offices are, trying to get to dial into my favorite radio show for my Thursday date. And finally, we are successful. And man, let me tell you, there is a lot of moving parts here. You know, the president has been invisible. It's like a high stakes game of hide and seek. We only got a brief glimpse of him on Monday, but you've got a cauldron brewing in the Middle East as Israel's watching and waiting to see if they get struck. And of course, the likelihood that, you know, the U.S. will be there to support Israel if that indeed happens, Israel guaranteeing a strike. But it's also playing out as we're watching the campaign trail that I've also been talking about, with Trump now announcing he'll do a press conference. And I just did a hit a little while ago trying to sort of put this into context for the country, which is what you're looking at right now. It's really been a tale of two campaigns, with one quite open to the press, with Vance trailing Harris at every turn, talking to reporters. Harris, now 18 days in running, avoiding any interviews or press conferences. And now Trump saying he's going to do a Mar-a-Lago press conference. And so the American people are really getting two different presidential campaigns out there today.
Yeah, it's a good point, Griff. And, you know, I played the bite coming into you from one of the former Minnesota National Guard members. They're mad at Tim Walz. And here's the thing about it. They brought this up back in, 2018 when he first started running up there, and the media just ignored it. This is not unlike the Swift Boat veterans against John Kerry back in 2004.
Oh, you take me back. You take me back to the Swift voters, and you're exactly right. Look, it is unthinkable that the Harris campaign didn't know that this was going to come up. And Walz, you know, in fairness, served the country for 24 years. However, in the campaign put a statement out. That's all they did. They haven't addressed on camera. They just said after 24 years of service, Walz retired in 2005, ran for Congress, and he was great for veterans, blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't talk about the fact that service records, so this isn't somebody's opinion, this is service records indicating that Walz dropped in rank from command sergeant major to sergeant major to when he retired before his unit deployed to Iraq shortly after his retirement. And he never saw combat during his military service, despite that soundbite claiming that he carried a gun in war. And that is a problem for them. It was interesting when a reporter on the tarmac asked Walz, you know, Vance accused you of stolen valor, what's your response? He just walked away.
They're going to have to answer it at some point. There's going to have to be press availability. I know the media is already trying to cover for him, but I played that bite earlier. That was from CNN. So even the media that's friendly to Harris and Walz is admitting this is a problem. They're going to have to address it at some point. There's no doubt about it.
They absolutely have to address it. And it's shocking that Walz didn't take the opportunity when asked that question to try and take the air out of the balloon and have whatever answer he would have for it, because no one other than Walz himself knows better the facts of the case and how to address it.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you hear a noise in the background here, Griff, just then?
I was wondering if it was on your end or my end.
Mark apologizes.
No. There's somebody below our studio drilling into concrete. And we hear this noise in the background, and we're wondering if anybody can hear it on the air.
That is unbelievable. Listen, yeah, I can totally hear it, and it takes me back to years of doing Fox and Friends First as an early morning reporter.
Yes.
When NBC was building out new studios just above us, they were drilling, and they had to stop by 7 a.m., but for 5 a.m., 6 a.m., I had to have drilling, and whatever story I was doing, I had to somehow segue into the drilling noise, sometimes with it right above me.
Well, everyone's writing it on Facebook. They can hear it, too.
Yeah, I'll bet they can. They're wondering what's wrong with us. All right. Hey, Griff, always great having you, my friend. Thank you for your time.
Hey, great having you. And by the way, we will see Biden today at the White House at some point when the world champ Texas Rangers show up, although I doubt we'll see the former president, George W. Bush, who used to be an owner over here.
We'll
have to wait and find out.
All right. Thanks. Griff Jenkins live this morning up there at the White House with more on that.
So Biden doesn't show up for, I don't know, really important issues, but he shows up for that.
Well, they can trot him out, and he can't do much damage at something like that.
Don't underestimate him, Mark. He can walk off or fall down. I mean, there's lots of things.
He wants to come out and get his free Rangers jersey.
Or ice cream, maybe.
Maybe an ice cream. Hey, we're doing ice cream today, Grandpa. At 2 o'clock, can you be there?
It's chocolate.
I'll be
your
there.
Favorite.
Central to our democracy is the nonpartisan election process that ensures fairness no matter who you're voting for. And the St. Charles County Election Authority says counting those ballots was never an issue. But Tuesday night, delays in publishing those results caused frustration. St. Charles County Councilman Joe Brazel was at Bill Eigel's watch party for the Republican governor's race, wondering what was going on.
Oh, what happened is last night, we had zero count.
We're going to touch on all of it with Griff Jenkins.
The claim about being in actual combat, that's different. Waltz did make a comment speaking to a group, he's done it a couple of times, where he has used language that has suggested that he carried weapons in a fighting situation. As you know, with your contact with the military, I know from coming from a military family, there is a difference between being in a combat area, being involved at a time of war, and actually being in a position where people are shooting at you. There is no evidence that at any time Governor Waltz was in a position of being shot at, and some of his language could easily be seen to suggest that he was. So that is absolutely false when he said that about gun rights out there.
Yeah, that's CNN. That's CNN reporting on this valor issue and whether stolen valor is a thing for the governor of Minnesota. Let's get to Griff.
We're trying to get Griff.
Oh, we don't have Griff?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We're trying to get him.
The theme right away.
We're trying to get him on the phone. That's very unusual for Carl not to have already hit the Griff theme there. I apologize. I was focused on what I was talking about. So anyway, this Swift Boat thing. Remember the Swift Boat veterans that got together and fought back against John Kerry? I mean, that was a big deal back then. They were running ads all over the place. Listen.
If you had any question about what John Kerry's made up.
Why do so many of us have serious questions?
How did you get your Purple Heart when your commanding officer didn't approve it?
Yeah, that was the Swift Boat veterans against Kerry who ran ads during, because they were so offended by his lies about his duty in Vietnam. Many of them were offended that he came back from Vietnam and told horrible stories about his fellow comrades that he served with, his fellow veterans, and lied about what he specifically did when he was there.
I find it odd that Walls came out in Philadelphia the other day when Kamala first introduced them as the ticket, and he really put an emphasis on his military experience. So to me, I'm thinking, if you know that this could come out, why put such an emphasis on it?
I don't know. I don't know why you'd have the arrogance to think that you'd never be called out on it. But he was. Here's a clip of Walls from CNN. I'm sorry, C-SPAN. Back in the day, he was in Congress already. He had just run for Congress, and C-SPAN invited him on to learn more about him.
missions.
And your military background?
I spent 24 years in the National Guard, some of that full time. I was an artilleryman. I deployed in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. My battalion provided base security throughout the European theater from Turkey to England in the early stages of the war in Afghanistan. And that same battalion is now in Iraq at this time.
Next.
Yeah. So there he made reference to the fact. Now, the actual allegation is coming from a guy named Tom Behrens. He was a retired command sergeant major. Command sergeant major is the title that Walz has used in his literature claiming he was in the National Guard. The National Guard says he never earned that title. He had a lesser title of like master sergeant, which is nothing to laugh at. But here's Behrens talking about him misstating his rank. Go to cut 10, Carl, please.
It kind of just sat there, you know, when he was a congressman, he bragged that he was a retired command sergeant major. I'm the highest ranking person ever in the House, and, you know, all this lie that he was telling. The state of Minnesota came out after 2018, after this was exposed, and they said, well, he can say that he served as a command sergeant major, but he can't say he's a retired one because he's not.
And that's what he was saying.
And he was saying that, and there was lots of public, you know, lots of cards coming in the mail, you know, for him to be elected. They said right on there, he's a retired command sergeant major.
Yeah! In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Griff Jenkins, watch your back. Hey, Griff, how are you, my friend?
I am good. I am in the basement of the White House where our press offices are, trying to get to dial into my favorite radio show for my Thursday date. And finally, we are successful. And, man, let me tell you, there is a lot of moving parts here. You know, the president has been invisible. It's like a high-stakes game of hide-and-seek. We only got a brief glimpse of him on Monday. But you've got a cauldron brewing in the Middle East as Israel's watching and waiting to see if they get struck. And, of course, the likelihood that, you know, the U.S. will be there to support Israel if that indeed happens, Israel guaranteeing a strike. But it's also playing out as we're watching the campaign trail that I've also been talking about, with Trump now announcing he'll do a press conference. And I just did a hit a little while ago trying to sort of put this into context for the country, which is what you're looking at right now. It has really been a tale of two campaigns, with one quite open to the press, with Vance trailing Harris at every turn, talking to reporters. Harris, now 18 days in running, avoiding any interviews or press conferences. And now Trump saying he's going to do a Mar-a-Lago press conference. And so the American people are really getting two different presidential campaigns out there today.
Yeah, it's a good point, Griff. And, you know, I played the bite coming into you from one of the former Minnesota National Guard members. They're mad at Tim Walz. And here's the thing about it. They brought this up back in, 2018 when he first started running up there, and the media just ignored it. This is not unlike the Swift Boat veterans against John Kerry back in 2004.
Oh, you take me back. You take me back to the Swift Boaters, and you're exactly right. Look, it is unthinkable that the Harris campaign didn't know that this was going to come up. And Walz, you know, in fairness, served the country for 24 years. However, and the campaign put a statement out. That's all they did. They haven't addressed on camera. They just said after 24 years of service, Walz retired in 2005, ran for Congress, and he was great for veterans, blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't talk about the fact that service records, so this isn't somebody's opinion, this is service records indicating that Walz dropped in rank from command sergeant major to sergeant major to when he retired before his unit deployed to Iraq shortly after his retirement. And he never saw combat during his military service, despite that soundbite claiming that he carried a gun in war. And that is a problem for them. It was interesting when a reporter on the tarmac asked Walz, you know, Vance accused you of stolen valor. What's your response? He just walked away.
They're going to have to answer it at some point. There's going to have to be press availability. I know the media is already trying to cover for him, but I played that bite earlier. That was from CNN. So even the media that's friendly to Harris and Walls is admitting this is a problem. They're going to have to address it at some point. There's no doubt about it.
They absolutely have to address it. And it's shocking that Walls didn't take the opportunity when asked that question to try and take the air out of the balloon and have whatever answer he would have for it, because no one other than Walls himself knows better the facts of the case and how to address it.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you hear a noise in the background here, Griff, just then?
I was wondering if it was on your end or my end.
Mark apologizes.
No, there's somebody below our studio drilling into concrete, and we hear this noise in the background, and we're wondering if anybody can hear it on the air.
That is unbelievable. Listen, yeah, I can totally hear it, and it takes me back to years of doing Fox and Friends First as an early morning reporter.
Yes.
When NBC was building out new studios just above us, they were drilling, and they had to stop by 7 a.m., but for 5 a.m., 6 a.m., I had to have drilling, and whatever story I was doing, I had to somehow segue into the drilling noise, sometimes with it right above me.
Well, everyone's writing it on Facebook. They can hear it, too.
Yeah, I'll bet they can. They're wondering what's wrong with us. All right. Hey, Griff, always great having you, my friend. Thank you for your time.
Hey, great having you. And by the way, we will see Biden today at the White House at some point when the world champ Texas Rangers show up, although I doubt we'll see the former president, George W. Bush, who used to be an owner over here.
We'll
have to wait and find out.
All right. Thanks. Griff Jenkins live this morning up there at the White House with more on that.
So Biden doesn't show up for, I don't know, really important issues, but he shows up for that.
Well, they can trot him out, and he can't do much damage at something like that.
Don't underestimate him, Mark. He can walk off or fall down. I mean, there's lots of things.
He wants to come out and get his free Rangers jersey.
Or ice cream, maybe.
Maybe an ice cream. Hey, we're doing ice cream today, Grandpa, at 2 o'clock. Can you be there?
It's chocolate.
I'll be there. Your favorite.
Central to our democracy is the nonpartisan election process that ensures fairness no matter who you're voting for. And the St. Charles County Election Authority says counting those ballots was never an issue.
But Tuesday night, delays in publishing those results caused frustration. St. Charles County Councilman Joe Brazel was at Bill Eigel's watch party for the Republican governor's race, wondering what was going on.
Oh, what happened is last night, we had zero counts. It was almost 10 till 10.
Brazel's been critical of the election authority in the past. Today, he's questioning the use of a third-party software from a company called 10X. The county says a glitch with the program caused the delay.
There shouldn't be this person in the middle that gives a chance for error. It shouldn't exist. Not in this. Elections are our most basic fundamental right that we believe in, that the system's going to work. Yeah. We can't have these errors.
We want to get all the election results as quickly as possible.
Kurt Barr, the director of the Election Authority, says the problem happened after the votes had been counted and were ready to be uploaded to the county's live results website.
The website was showing the zero report correctly, showing the information on my end correctly, but wouldn't publish the results so the public could see it.
I think you have to give this argument to Joe Brazel. I mean, I understand that this was a vendor issue, wasn't something directly the county did, but the once you hand off that responsibility to a third party, you're inviting problems that you can't control. So I'd be interested to find out. We need to invite Denny Hoskins on now that he's the nominee for the Secretary of State, because he would have a lot of influence over decisions like that, I think, at the county level. He'd like to move back to paper ballots. But how would we count them all? Well, how did we count them all for years before we started using machines?
You sounded like Dracula there.
I'm sorry, but everybody gets all up in arms. We can't go back to that. You know, the media is treating him like this is a surprise to them. It's been one of the planks of his platform since he started running.
No, I agree. I'm not surprised that Channel 4 is freaking out about that. It was their top story on the website. And of course, they have to say GOP nominee.
Yeah,
ridiculous Republicans are crazy. Look what they want to do. They're barbaric.
They want to hand count the ballots. Oh, my gosh. Human error. I mean, you got them all there. They're all checked off. You go back and do an audit if you need to. But you don't have to worry about the scanner missing something or something being mismarked, or, you know, the story. One of my Democrat friends is circulating some internet rumor the other day that if there's any writing on the page at all, that tosses that ballot out, which is complete hogwash. I saw the post. I texted Rick Stream. I'm like, Rick, is there anything to this? He goes, of course not. When your ballot is handed to you, it's signed by a Republican and it's initialed by a Republican and Democrat judge right at the top.
Yep.
They're supposed to do. They're required to do that. So why would somebody circulate a rumor? I commented on the guy's page and said, stop spreading lies. Mm-hmm. I didn't say this was in Missouri. I'm like, but the idiots that read your Facebook page don't know that. Why would you even? His suggestion was it was Republicans who were trying to do this to toss out votes. And that's kind of what got me fired up. When you see such blatant falsehoods, you're allowed to call those out. And I did. So, yeah, but in general, I'm not a big fan of the machines, even the scanners. I mean, I really didn't like the ones where the little piece of tape moved and it was completely electronic how you were voting. And that can be manipulated. There's mm-hmm. just no way around it. It can be manipulated.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever voted on one like that.
Well, I mean, they were doing it until just a few years ago. I remember going to the polling place and then they started I can't remember what the issue was. There were some questions about votes being changed or something not registering, and it just got to be more trouble than it was worth. And I think they went back to the paper ballots, and then you feed them into that scanner mm-hmm. at the end, and it zips them through. And when you can see the little American flag, you voted.
And then you get your sticker.
Yes.
I do like wearing that sticker. It's like, you know, when you bring the kids to the bank or something, I remember, you know, being excited to get like a sticker
yeah.
or a lollipop. It's like yeah. that for adults, where it's the one time that we're really excited about a sticker.
You feel like you've accomplished something.
You feel like a patriot. I walk in there all excited when I'm voting, like, wow, this is such a cool thing that I get to do this. I wish more people felt like that, because yep. maybe voter turnout would have been better for the primary.
All right. So I need to get off the radio now and go downstairs and tell those guys to stop drilling, because they're drilling into the concrete floor studio. And
normally you support drilling.
I normally do.
Not in this case.
Drill, baby, drill, unless the Mark Cox Morning Show is on the air. Then you can't do that. Kilmeade's up next. Then you'll have Annie Fry and Mark Rudin in here this afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Friday morning, 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Central to our democracy is the nonpartisan election process that ensures fairness no matter who you're voting for. And the St. Charles County Election Authority says counting those ballots was never an issue.
But Tuesday night, delays in publishing those results caused frustration. St. Charles County Councilman Joe Brazel was at Bill Eigel's watch party for the Republican governor's race, wondering what was going on.
Oh, what happened is last night, we had zero counts. It was almost 10 till 10.
Brazel's been critical of the election authority in the past. Today, he's questioning the use of a third-party software from a company called 10X. The county says a glitch with the program caused the delay.
There shouldn't be this person in the middle that gives a chance for error. It shouldn't exist. Not in this. Elections are our most basic fundamental right that we believe in, that the system's going to work. Yeah. We can't have these errors.
We want to get all the election results as quickly as possible.
Kurt Barr, the director of the election authority, says the problem happened after the votes had been counted and were ready to be uploaded to the county's live results website.
The website was showing the zero report correctly, showing the information on my end correctly, but wouldn't publish the results so the public could see it.
I think you have to give this argument to Joe Brazel. I mean, I understand that this was a vendor issue, wasn't something directly the county did, but the once you hand off that responsibility to a third party, you're inviting problems that you can't control. So I'd be interested to find out. We need to invite Denny Hoskins on now that he's the nominee for the Secretary of State, because he would have a lot of influence over decisions like that, I think, at the county level. He'd like to move back to paper ballots. But how would we count them all? Well, how did we count them all for years before we started using machines?
You sounded like Dracula there.
I'm sorry, but everybody gets all up in arms. We can't go back to that. You know, the media is treating him like this is a surprise to them. It's been one of the planks of his platform since he started running.
No, I agree. I'm not surprised that Channel 4 is freaking out about that. It was the top story on the website. And of course, they have to say GOP nominee. Those ridiculous Republicans are crazy. Look what they want to do. They're barbaric.
They want to hand count the ballots. Oh, my gosh. Human error. I mean, you got them all there. They're all checked off. You go back and do an audit if you need to. But you don't have to worry about the scanner missing something or something being mismarked or, you know, the story. One of my Democrat friends is circulating some internet rumor the other day that if there's any writing on the page at all, that tosses that ballot out, which is complete hogwash. I saw the post. I texted Rick Stream. I'm like, Rick, is there anything to this? He goes, of course not. When your ballot is handed to you, it's signed by a Republican and it's initialed by a Republican and Democrat judge right at the top.
Yep.
They're supposed to do. They're required to do that. So why would somebody circulate a rumor? I commented on the guy's page and said, stop spreading lies. Mm-hmm. I didn't say this was in Missouri. I'm like, but the idiots that read your Facebook page don't know that. Why would you even? His suggestion was it was Republicans who were trying to do this to toss out votes. And that's kind of what got me fired up. When you see such blatant falsehoods, you're allowed to call those out. And I did. So, yeah, but in general, I'm not a big fan of the machines, even the scanners. I mean, I really didn't like the ones where the little piece of tape moved and it was completely electronic how you were voting. And that can be manipulated. There's mm-hmm. just no way around it. It can be manipulated.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever voted on one like that.
Well, I mean, they were doing it until just a few years ago. I remember going to the polling place and then they started I can't remember what the issue was. There were some questions about votes being changed or something not registering, and it just got to be more trouble than it was worth. And I think they went back to the paper ballots, and then you feed them into that scanner mm-hmm. at the end, and it zips them through. And when you can see the little American flag, you voted.
And then you get your sticker.
Yes.
I do like wearing that sticker. It's like, you know, when you bring the kids to the bank or something, I remember, you know, being excited to get like a sticker
yeah.
or a lollipop. It's like yeah. that for adults. It's the one time that we're really excited about a sticker.
You feel like you've accomplished something.
You feel like a patriot. I walk in there all excited when I'm voting, like, wow, this is such a cool thing that I get to do this. I wish more people felt like that, because yep. maybe voter turnout would have been better for the primary.
All right. So I need to get off the radio now and go downstairs and tell those guys to stop drilling, because they're drilling into the concrete floor studio. And
normally you support drilling.
I normally do.
Not in this case.
Drill, baby, drill, unless the Mark Cox Morning Show is on the air. Then you can't do that. Kilmeade's up next. Then you'll have Annie Fry and Mark Rudin in here this afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow morning, Friday morning, 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.